Daniel back to talk about this asteroid. What is it called? 2004 MN4, is that it?
That is correct.
Okay. What does the MN4 mean?
The M and the N are designations that really kind of tell you the sequence in which this asteroid was discovered in the year 2004. The two letters refer to the sort of like half month in which it was discovered. So
November 4.
It's in that vicinity. That sounds right.
Okay.
That sounds
so
right.
So month would be November 4. Well, let's see. The one I just mentioned, FN5, would be.
It's pretty early, right? The first thing to be discovered would be, you know, 2000, like, say, for instance, 2006, you know, AA, right?
Yeah.
And then you go to AB, AC,
interesting.
You know, AD, you work through the alphabet, and you go to, like, B, right? BA, B, 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 C, and you work your way through.
So MN4
is about the, you know, around the middle of 2004.
Okay, around 2029, it's going to come 20-some thousand miles from the planet, within satellite range.
It's amazing, yeah, when you think about it. This thing is going to fly closer to the Earth than our own satellites that we've launched up.
We're going to be able to really see this thing.
It's going to be actually a very good view in Europe, it turns out. We'll get the best. The actual closest approach happens at the time when it's, you know, like dark time in Europe. And so for London, England, for instance, it will be up about, you know, about halfway up in the sky. It'll be naked eye visible. It'll be, you know, well, of course, from London, I suppose, with any big city, you'll have to be away from the bright lights to be able to see the thing. But it would be actually naked eye visible. It'd be moving through the sky at something like, you know, 2.5 degrees per minute. So, you know, it's not quite as fast as watching an airplane move through the sky, but it's not going to be stationary in the sky either. You will be able to perceptibly watch the object move through the sky as it flies overhead.
How big is it?
We're estimating, we had a radar observation of it, and it was the radar observation, actually, that occurred back, you know, I guess it was around February or so, that actually told us that it was not actually going to impact us in 2029, but merely come close. That was the observation that refined its orbit. Unfortunately, that was a barely detectable radar pling from it, if you will, not enough information to get size and shape. Our estimates on its size and shape come from basically how bright it appears in the sky at a given distance, and we think it's on the order of 320 meters across, so, you know, about a little over three football fields across.
That could cause a lot of damage.
An object of that size, this is why we were so concerned. For the first time, we, you know, this was big news.
It
didn't
it's
hit
huge.
The news, but it was big news. It was wholly unexpected that an impact possibility during the lives of all the people that were discussing this could actually happen with that probability involving an object of this size. None of us expected to ever deal with something like this in our lifetime, to be looking at, you know, 1 in 30-ish, 1 in 20-ish odds of an object that could actually do some real damage to us, impacting, you know, in our lifetimes.
Well, and seeing this one was found in 2004, you know, we're right at the
beginning.
We're
going to see a lot more of these.
Absolutely.
We're going to see a lot more of these. What's happening is we're still, in 2004, MN4 is one of these objects that's coming along. We're getting it for free, so to speak, as we are completing the Space Guard goal of detecting all of the kilometer and larger, it's about 0.6 miles across, and larger near-Earth asteroids. We want to find 90% of those by 2008. And we're getting there. It may take a little longer than 2008, but effectively we're getting there fairly well. In the process, of course, of searching for those larger objects, we tend to pick up occasionally some of the smaller, fainter ones that come in close, and so we're getting objects like this for free. We are now talking because we understand that even these small objects can cause, you know, local to regional devastation. If they were to impact over your city, it's not a good thing. We're getting to the point now where it's becoming recognized that we need to actually complete a similar survey for objects 150 meters, you know, 1.5 football fields and larger. When we start actually seriously completing and working on that survey, the bigger telescopes to find those even fainter objects, we're going to have this sort of, you know, watching an object and, you know, considering that it may have significant odds of impacting us a couple decades hence, we're going to have those happening several times a year. And we're going to have to learn how to deal with this. It's a the case of 2004 MN4 behind the scenes raised quite a ruckus amongst the asteroid community.
What would they have done if this thing was on a collision course with the planet? And honestly, Dan, sometimes I wonder maybe if it is, and you guys are being too nice to us, and you don't want to tell
us. You're hitting exactly the key issue that was going on being discussed among, because, I mean, this was big news, but I mean, partially because it was the holidays, partially because of the tsunami, it was just not picked up in the press. This was an absolutely unprecedented event in the history of searching for asteroids and thinking about asteroids' impact, and yet it never really hit the news.